Well, what a wonderful hymn, and great to be able to sing it together as a congregation. It was a new hymn to me, but tremendous words and truth contained therein. So let's take our Bibles. We're turning, as you may well know, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And we'll read once again verses 6 through to verse 17. So Ruth, chapter 1, and commencing our reading at verse 6. So Ruth chapter 1, please, and verse 6, and let's hear the word of the living God. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Amen, and we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Let's stand just before the preaching of the Word, and unite in prayer with me, child of God, and to ask the blessing upon the word as the Lord has given the message for this morning. So let's unite in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is with thankfulness and praise that we approach thy throne of grace, not in our own merit, not in our own righteousness, but we come, Father, in the merit of thine own dear Son. We thank thee for the clothing that he has provided for us, thy dear people. We thank thee for that garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. And Lord, the very fact that thou dost view us in him, thy people. And Father, Lord, I come to thee and I confess my need of thee. Lord, I can very well, as it were, sit at home and prepare a sermon and get an outline. And yet, Lord, that's not what needed for this hour. Lord, it is the blessing of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word, the enablement of God, the Holy Ghost, to come and to take the Word, to apply it powerfully to the hearts of all those who are gathered, both in this building, over in the church hall, those that have taken time to tune in at home, and Lord, across this world, wherever they might be. We're praying, Lord, for a Word that causes an effect today. Praying for that effectual call of the living God, the mighty voice of God to be heard. We thank Thee that the voice of God is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Let thy voice be heard above the voice of the preacher. And yet, Lord, take me and use me as an instrument in thine hand. I surrender myself afresh and completely over to thee, confessing my need of thee, knowing that left to myself, Lord, I will fail, I will falter. Lord, the word will be ineffective. Lord, if it's just left to me. But I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised to not leave me, to not leave me destitute, or, Lord, to forsake me even in a time of need. But thou art with thy people always. We thank thee that thou art with us even unto the end of the age. And so fulfill thy word. Be amongst us today. Bring glory to thy Son. For these things I asked in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now this morning, as we continue our study in the book of Ruth, we come to our words in verses 16 and 17, which are unsurpassed in their beauty in the rendering of the Authorized Version. They are familiar words which have been often spoken by a young bride as she makes her vows on her wedding day. Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. We drew alongside these three widow women as they stopped at a junction in the road, but more importantly, at a junction in life. Last time we thought about Naomi's advice and what she had to say to these two young Moabites. A test was applied to both by Naomi, in which Orpah and Ruth had to count the cost of leaving Moab. By considering her spiritual tone, the tone of Naomi's advice, it was evident that though she had taken her first steps back to return unto God, she was still far from God. She should never have advised her young daughters-in-law to go back to their gods of Moab. We also noticed Orpah's abandonment. She had weighed all that Naomi had said and was unwilling to pay the cost. Her abandonment made manifest the true affection of her heart. She was mindful of the country from which she was leaving. Moab was too dear to her to give up. And with a kiss goodbye, she turned her back on Naomi, but more significantly, she turned her back on the Lord God of Israel. And that brings us to the striking words there at the end of verse 14. But Ruth clave unto her. Grace caused this distinction, and grace alone. Circumstances, future prospects, human affections, opportunities, and the same tests were applied to both young women. And as I mentioned the last time, I believe that it was at this point, this moment in the life of Ruth, and this point on the road on her journey from Moab to Bethlehem, that free grace awoke her by light from on high. The Lord made her willing, for it was the day of His power. He made her willing to choose the right. He inclined her heart unto Him, and in and by that sovereign work, she chose to leave Moab and embrace the Lord God. The word "but" is the fulcrum on which this book turns. You see, everything up to this point has been the record of the tragedy and travesty of wrong decisions. But now a dramatic contrast marking a change in the direction of Ruth's life from a godless, lifeless, hopeless, pagan Gentile to one grafted into Israel and eventually into the lineage of the Messiah. And there it all is contrasted or conveyed to us by that word, but. It is the pivotal moment in this book. Whenever you observe that word, or other words associated with contrast, such as yet or nevertheless, we are to pause. And we are to ask ourselves, what is the author contrasting? What's the contrast here? Well, obviously it is Ruth's response with Orpah. That's the contrast that we are to have in view. Orpah, she decided on leaving, but Ruth decided on cleaving. And what a line of contrast was drawn by grace. And yet we read that backslidden Naomi presses Ruth once again to go back to the gods of Moab in verse 15. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law." We have Ruth's answer in verses 16 and 17. And that is what I want to consider this morning. And in her answer, we see three things. The first thing I want to draw to your attention and think from her answer is Ruth's determination. Ruth's determination. There was something decisive and once for all, final we could say about Ruth's words and actions. Her decision to go with Naomi meant a radical break from all that she had known up to this point in her life. And from that moment, her life would never be the same again. She was determined and resolute in the choice that she had made. And we see this in the opening words of verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." Now when Ruth said these words, she was cleaving to Naomi. We've already seen that from the end of verse 14. And the word cleave, it is vital, a vital word. It means to stick to adhere to cling to join with, and to stay with. It is first used in the book of Genesis, referring to God's original and natural plan of a marriage union between a male and a female, one man marrying one woman. Now, while the laws and opinions of men might change, the Word of God is unchanging. And the counsel of God, it standeth sure. In Genesis 2:24, we read these words, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Through marriage, Adam and Eve were in union. They were joined together as one, and there was nothing that was to get in the way of that union, of that cleaving of the one to the other. The same word is also used by Solomon in Proverbs 18:24, where it's translated, "Sticketh." There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Ruth's cleaving to Naomi was an expression of the cleaving of her heart, the steadfastness with which she was going to stick with the choice that she had made. She tells Naomi to stop soliciting her to go back to Moab, to leave off her arguments and her reasons why she should turn back onto her people and to her land and to her gods, for she had resolved to go with her to Bethlehem, Judah. She had passed, that is Ruth, she had passed the test of self-denial and self-sacrifice. She had counted the cost and come to the proper conclusion that it had been eternally more costly for her to turn her back on God and to go back to Moab. And so she was determined to go with Naomi. There was no half-heartedness with Ruth. She was not indefinite. And that comes across in the words which she spoke, which followed. She had put her hand to the plow, and she was not going to look back. Now, Naomi, she had told her to behold her sister. Take a look at Orpah. Ruth, take a look back down the road that's heading to Moab. Take a look back at what's going down the road and what Orpah has done. But Ruth, she wouldn't look back. It didn't matter to Ruth, because she had made a determinant choice. Her heart was fixed. I asked you this morning, is your heart fixed? Or are you looking back? Is there half-heartedness in your life? Is there indefiniteness? One man, he commented this. He said, "An indefinite sinner will never find a Savior, and an indefinite Christian will never enjoy the promises and blessings of God as they are meant to be enjoyed." And this determination Ruth had, it's missing among many today, even among the people of God, a resolute determination to do all that they can to press on with God, no matter what anyone else is doing. The word entreat that Ruth uses, it has the thought here of, do not be against me, or do not stand in my way. You see, all that Naomi was saying was against the inclination of Ruth's heart. She was determined that nothing would turn her back. With the words of the hymn, she could rightly say, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, things that are nobler, things that are higher, these have allured my sight." And can you say that in this building this morning? Over in the complex, are you resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights? Or are you looking back? Is there an indefiniteness? Is there, as it were, that double heart? It wasn't found here in Ruth. She was absolutely determined in our choice to go on with God. Although not as famous, the Scripture records the determined resolution of another foreigner named Itiah the Gittite, a Philistine from Gath. If you turn, please, there to 2 Samuel chapter 15, we read of this account. Itiah, he comes with 600 men to David. As the king, he's fleeing from Jerusalem because of Absalom, his son, rising up against him. David turns to Itiah and asks him in verse 19, 2 Samuel 15, verse 19, "Then said the king to Itiah the Gittite, wherefore goest thou with us? Return thou to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile, whereas thou camest but yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return now and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be upon or be with thee." And although the context is not the same as what we find in Ruth, we see that Itiah, his resolve and determination is the same, for he answered. He answered, "As the Lord liveth and as the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will my servant be." Here was a man who had only been brought, we could say, into union with the king but a day before, and yet there was a determinant resolve to go with the king whithersoever he went. My risk determination, it was more than a determination to follow Naomi, it was a determination to follow the Lord. But such a resolve to go after God was not simply a matter of human willpower. This resolution exhibited by Ruth was not a determination that would naturally flow out of the human heart. It's something that is not in us by nature. This resolve, this determination, but Ruth's determination, it flowed out of a true and a living faith that was worked in her heart by her God. It flowed and it sprung from a newfound devotion to her God. And that's the second point we want to consider, because not only is there Ruth's determination, but there was Ruth's devotion. Ruth, she gives her reasons why she wants Naomi to leave off her appeals to return to Moab, indicated by that little word "for" in verse 16. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for," or we could read it "because." Naomi, stop telling me to go back, because. And now she's going to outline her reason. And really the remainder of verse 16 and into verse 17 is Ruth's confession of faith. And in the middle of those five pairs of clauses that we find in the Hebrew construction of Ruth's confession is the key phrase, the central phrase, "Thy God and my God." Her heart, like her face, was not towards Moab, but towards God. And that phrase, "Thy God and my God," it reveals to us the devotion of her heart, where her loyalty and to whom her loyalty now lay. These words, they indicate to us that Ruth had come to know the Lord in a most personal manner. This is Ruth now giving an account not only of leaving Moab geographically, but more importantly, leaving it spiritually and turning to the Lord. See, Ruth was not content to be a secret idolater in the Lord's land. She might have gone with Naomi and been introduced into the Israelite society, and yet all the while in the secret shrine of her heart, been worshipping and loving her old pagan gods. But no, not for Ruth, because now her heart was turned on to the Lord, and Ruth was able to use a possessive determiner, "my," with regard to her relationship with God, "my God." She didn't speak of Him in some general terms or in a casual manner, but very specifically and personally, her words indicate that God had become to her her own God in a most intimate way and fashion. You see, this reveals to us that through the work of grace and the conversion of a sinner, there is a new and personal relationship established with God, in which God becomes the God of the one who puts their faith in Him. To be able to say, "My God," is essentially the summation of the covenant of grace, which is succinctly put throughout Scripture many times. I will be their God and they shall be my people. To have God, you have everything that is contained in the covenant of grace. And Ruth knew, she knew very well that God was still Naomi's God, even though Naomi had wandered for Him, because she was able to say, "Thy God, Naomi." But now she could say, "He's my God. Is God your God?" Is that something you can say this morning? Or do you have to speak in those general terms, "The God"? Can you say like Mary, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God"? Listen, my Savior. Can you say like doubting Thomas, can you say, "My Lord and my God"? You know, man and woman, that's what it's all about. Is He your personal God this morning? The hymn writer says, "Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. Mine, mine, mine. I know Thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know Thou art mine." And Ruth here, she reveals to Naomi and to us where her devotion, where her loyalty now lay. And you know, to say that God is yours is also to say that you are His. Song of Solomon 2:15 teaches us that. "My beloved is mine, and I am His." And it is by reason of the fact that He has made us His own that we have any right or grounds to say that God is my God. And sinners, they are made His own by and through the work of redemption. Isaiah 43 verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Ruth, therefore, was redeemed. That's why she could say, "My God." Now in a very, very illustrative manner, as we progress through this book, we're going to see how Ruth was redeemed according to the custom of the day, but in a real and a spiritual sense, she was redeemed by the Lord. She was bought with a price. She was no longer her own, and her heart now belonged to another. How much she knew, I don't know. Did Elimelech, Naomi, her husband Mahlon tell her about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Had she heard of the sacrifices that God's people offered unto Him, not merely as formal ceremony like the sacrifices offered to Chemosh, but that those sacrifices were a picture of the One who would come to redeem? You know, she must have had some knowledge on which to rest her faith. She had to. You cannot believe in that which you have not heard. And she must have had some knowledge to be able to say, "Thy God and my God." Chapter 2, verse 12, Boaz, he makes the acknowledgement of the fact that Ruth had come to trust in the Lord God of Israel. There are many. You know, maybe even some here, and you too have heard. And I venture to say you have heard much more than Ruth heard. And yet you do not believe. Your loyalty and devotion is not to the Lord. It might be to the land. It might be to the lodge. It might be to the lads. But it's not to the Lord. No devotion, no loyalty to the Lord. And Ruth's devotion to God, it was demonstrated by her absolute surrender to Him. And we see that in the following words there at the end of verse 17. Where she says there, "The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me." She was placing herself entirely into the hands of the Lord, and she realized that she was now accountable to the one who had made her His own. She had just heard and witnessed. She heard of Naomi speak of the hand of the Lord going out against her, chastising her. And yet Ruth, she willingly gives herself up to God, no matter what it may mean. Significantly, she invokes the personal covenantal name, Lord, in this vow that she makes. It's the only time in the book that in which she does so, using the Lord, the covenant name. And since one appeals to their own deity to enforce an oath, she is clearly here implying that the Lord, not Chemosh, is her God. This devotion to God, it lay behind Ruth's determination. There will be absolutely no determination to press on with God, to turn from the world, if first there is no devotion for the Lord. It's because the Lord is her God that Ruth utters the rest of what she says in her confession of faith. You see, what she believes determines how she will live. And that brings me to my last point this morning, because we thought about Ruth's determination and Ruth's devotion. In the last place, Ruth's declaration. We find this in the words that we have not yet considered from verses 16 and 17. "Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Then down in verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried." These words revealed a commitment to Naomi personally. But much more, for they were the outworking of Ruth's devotion to the Lord and a declaration of how she was going to live before Him from that point onwards. They're not just some sentimental, wishy-washy feelings which were spoken in the moment. After all, this is a very emotional moment. But they were a declaration of how her creed would be worked out in her conduct. And men and women, that's the way it always is. Doctrine always affects duty. What we see in these great words of Ruth is the impossibility she saw of remaining in Moab and following the Lord. She understood that she could not have the values and philosophies of Moab and at the same time do the Lord's will. She made her choice of renouncing one and cleaving to the other, of being dedicated to the one and not the other. And you know, that attitude is absolutely indispensable at the moment of our conversion and then throughout the life of faith. There is to be a constant element of renunciation in the life of the believer, of a forsaking and a continual turning from the world. You see, whenever there is trust in the living God, then at the same time, there is a refusal to be taken up with anything that will draw us from the Lord. It is a life of renunciation. And this is something that we need to understand. Ruth, by these words, she was bidding farewell to an old lifestyle, to her old values, to her old friends. She was waving goodbye to her old idols. You see, all things were passed away and all things were becoming new. For Ruth's declaration, it spoke of a new road. Look what she said, "Whither thou goest, I will go." Ruth was dedicated to walking a new path. She committed herself to a path not knowing where it might take her, only that it would end in the promised land. She committed herself to a course of life that would be determined, entirely determined by someone else. And that's exactly what sinners do when they come to Christ. They yield themselves up to Him. They dedicate themselves to following Him wherever He would choose to lead them. Sinners, they were once walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They were going down the broad road that leads to destruction. But now when they've come to Christ, they have turned from that way to His way. That is a highway of holiness, the low way of humility, the narrow way of faith, the rough way of trial, the old way of truth, the safe way of security, and the good way of peace. Are you on that way? Are you walking down a new road in life? Ruth expresses her commitment to Naomi to follow her no matter where the path would lead, be it rough or smooth, be it hard or easy. Ruth was going to go in the same direction as Naomi. Where He may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so. A new road. But her declaration also spoke of a new residence. Because she goes on to say, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The word lodge means to spend the night. But it can also mean to settle down and abide. And you'll note here that Ruth, she didn't place any conditions on her commitment. You know, she didn't say that she would lodge with Naomi provided that it was a nice house. Rather, she said that no matter where the dwelling was or of what kind it was, she would lodge with Naomi. She made no deals with Naomi and God. She did not lay down the terms and conditions. If, like Jacob, a pillow would be a stone, so be it. I dare not choose my lot. I would not, if I might, choose thou for me, my God. So shall I walk aright. A new road, a new residence. But her declaration also spoke of new relations. Thy people shall be my people. The words shall be, they are supplied. Ruth had already identified herself with the people of God. We could read it, thy people, my people. And this involved for Ruth a painful separation, but also a pleasant association. From the words of Boaz in chapter 2, verse 11, we learn there that Ruth, she did leave her father and mother behind in Moab. She left her own people and she took Naomi's people, or God's people, to be her own. The very first thing God calls for is an affirmation of her love by a separation or an alienation of the affection of all natural and earthly relationships. You see, if Christ is to be followed, Christ alone must be considered. As He tells us in Luke 14:26, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Ruth did not let any earthly human relationship stop her from following the Lord. If we would follow Christ, there is, in a very real sense, in which we must forsake our own people. Psalm 45, verse 10 says, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Oh, I'm sure that was a painful separation. And yet it not only includes this new relations, a severance of old relationships, but also involves loving and loyal commitment to God's family. You see, a person is not saved merely to walk in isolation with God. We've heard much about self-isolation over the past months. But when a sinner is saved, they are brought into the number of a company of people who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And they find in their hearts this desire This desire to be associated with the people of God, to be where God's people are. Young person, is that what you find in your life? Or is it more the reversal? Are you becoming more and more separated from the people of God and more associated with the worldly crowd? You know, you ask yourself about your youth fellowship attendance. Has it slipped? And there's becoming, as it were, that separation from the people of God and the embracing of the worldly crowd. There's something wrong if that's the case. And I put it to you like this, that the devotion for the Lord is not there as it once was, or else it was never there in the first place. New relations. But her declaration also spoke of a new resting place. Because she says, "Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried." This speaks of the permanency of Ruth's resolve. This was for life. She wasn't just going to escort Naomi back to Bethlehem and get her all settled in and then make her return journey to Moab. No, she wanted to be buried in Israel. And the burial in Israel spoke of her faith in the Lord God, and it said in her commitment, it went beyond the grave and into eternity. And that's why Jacob, he wanted to be buried in Canaan. That's why Joseph, even though he was in a high position in Egypt, he wanted his bones taken back to Canaan. Those whose God is the Lord will enter into their final rest, and they have a new and eternal resting place. All things are new to the Christian. A new road, a new residence, new relations. New resting place. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? Fanny Crosby, she wrote the hymn entitled, "Entreat Me Not to Leave Thee," based on these words of Ruth. Verses 2 and 3 of her hymn go like this: "I follow where thou leadest. My love will cling to thee. And where thy head be pillowed, my nightly rest shall be. Thy birthplace and thy kindred I'll cherish like my own. Thy God shall be my refuge. I'll worship at his throne. Where death's cold hand shall find thee, there let my eyelids close. And in the grave beside thee this mortal frame repose. Oh, do not now entreat me. No friend so dear as thou. My heart would break with anguish if I should leave thee now." Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. When Naomi knew how determined Ruth was, there was no doubt in her mind that she was not for turning back. What about you? I must confess, there are individuals in this congregation, and I do have a doubt in my mind. I know I am not your judge, and I know that I cannot see the hearts of men and women and young people. But Naomi here, by the words, by the actions, by the resolve, by the evident devotion of Ruth, she knew. She knew that for Ruth there was no turning back. Is there a determination in your heart to go with God? There will not be if there is no devotion for God present. It won't be the case. Can you make this declaration that Ruth did? Has God made you that new creature, new desire? New prospect opening up before you. A new eternity on the horizon waiting for you. You know, Ruth's views of religion might not have been clear. As I said, I don't know how much knowledge she had, but it was evident that the principle of vital godliness was within her. The root was in her heart. And it was powerfully operative in her life. She acted in perfect conformity with the injunction that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ centuries later, when He said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Ruth forsook it all. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. No turning back. May the Lord work in your heart this morning. May you have devotion for the Lord, loyalty to Him. May that then work out in a determination that you're going to go on with God. May it be expressed by a living declaration that your life will be changed from this point forward. Two young women, Orpah, Ruth. Two decisions that were made, ending in two different destinies. What will be your choice? May God make you willing, even this day of His power, to choose life, to come to Christ, so then you'll be able to call Him my Lord and my God. Let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Do think about this very carefully. These matters that are before us. Examine your life in the light of Scripture. As what's said of Ruth cannot be said of you. Is there a doubt there? Is there that separation, withdrawing from the people of God, the things of God, and an association, more and more links being formed between the ungodly? Well, my dear friend, that's Orpah. That's not Ruth. And Orpah went back to her gods, died in her sin. And Ruth went with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, bow before Thee, giving Thee thanks and praise for the opportunity to open up Your Word, to consider what Thou would have to say. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to individuals very particularly this morning. O God, we pray that Thou would turn their hearts unto Thee. May they be able to say, "My God," truly, of assurance. In simple faith, may they call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse them of their sin, to make them that new creature in Christ. Oh God, this is Thy work. For us as Thy people, help us to have that determination that Ruth had. That nothing come between Thee and us, O God. May our hearts truly be fixed and cleaved and stuck to Thee, O God. We thank Thee for that union that none can sever. And yet, Lord, at times there are things that would seek to distract us and turn us away. We pray, O God, that Thou would give us grace to go on with Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless the Word, even to the salvation of the lost. Bring glory to Thy name. Glorify Thyself, O God, through, Lord, giving life unto dead sinners, even restoring the backslider and applying the Word to Thy saints, O God. What a privilege, O how blessed, to call Him mine. Lord, part us with Your blessing. Remember service tonight, all who would gather both here in the church hall, around our devices. We pray that Thou would bless Thy servant as he preaches the Word. Now I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be the portion of Thy people both now and evermore. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.